Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So the Drudge Report, confusing some Christians no doubt, has a link to a story and a photograph of lightning striking St. Peter's Basilica on the day that the Pope announced his resignation. So on the same day, lightning strikes. And so for those Christians, some of whom listen to this show, some of whom are dear friends, but for those Christians who are superstitious, right? And in my experience, as I observe Christian behavior and Christian teaching, superstition is rampant in the body of Christ. And so the question would be, when lightning strikes the basilica the day the Pope resigns, is God saying he's glad that Pope Benedict the 16th that he resigned? Is God saying he's mad that he resigned? Which is it? How do you interpret that? We Christians are notoriously bad at interpreting the Bible. So now we're going to interpret everything that happens around us. Flat tires. You get a flat tire. What is God telling you? What is the devil telling you? So many things happen and people think, well, it must have been God. Why couldn't I get to that meeting? It must have been God. Or maybe it was the devil. And their theology is so convoluted, so superstitious, that they don't know whether it was God or the devil. And if you don't know whether it's God or the devil, let me suggest that you get a better set of theological doctrines under your belt. So if you don't know if it means God's happy, God's mad, was it the devil, was it God, was it an angel, was it a demon, maybe it's just you being extremely confused. And so one of the things we do at Bob Inyart Live when people subscribe to our monthly Bible studies and our sermons is that we identify superstition in Christian doctrine, theology, Christian practice, and we try to identify it and then eradicate it from the Christian's thinking so that we could be more spiritually mature and please God rather than being superstitious. And Christians have a hard enough time interpreting the Bible, let alone interpreting a flat tire. And so that's one of the reasons we offer hermeneutics, a CD, a seminar on a single CD that you could listen to, and we go through the tools for interpreting the Bible. And by the way, those tools for interpreting, when you learn good hermeneutics for interpreting the Bible, they apply to all of life, not just the Bible. It's not as though there's a secret set of special knowledge that only you and the Gnostics and a few people you listen to that they have. And once you are enlightened with that secret knowledge, then you can understand. No, it's not. That's not it at all. The tools for understanding, for interpreting the Bible, for understanding the meaning of the Bible are the exact same tools to use for understanding meaning in all of life, in everything you read, from a Facebook post to a newspaper article to a science textbook. They're the same tools. And that's hermeneutics, tools for understanding the Bible. You could get it at kgov.com, kgov.com, or you can call us at 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Please don't wait till our telethon in March to do something to benefit yourself and to help us stay on the air. Go ahead and get that today, and that'll encourage the whole staff here at Bob Inyart Live and me. All right, so the lightning strikes St. Peter's Basilica. Cheryl and I have been there. We've toured the basilica. I did ask. I caused a lot of trouble. It's like going to McDonald's and asking for French fries without salt. It's like the whole place comes to a screeching halt. So I asked that we saw where St. Peter was buried. And I just said, very innocently, very naively, I asked, well, where did they bury his wife? Where did they bury Peter's wife? Because the Bible says Peter was married and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. You remember that? up in Capernaum in northern Israel on the Sea of Galilee. And then years later, when Paul was especially grouchy one day, he was writing and complaining. He said that when he had to travel, he had to take along Barnabas. But when Peter traveled, he got to take along his wife. So, Paul, you can't blame him. Doug and I are going on a road trip coming up. Doug McBurney, my frequent co-host, we're going on a road trip coming up soon. And we're trying to get a meeting with a world-famous scientist, evolutionist. And it's not even set yet, but we're going. Are we going by faith? You say we're going by faith? No, it's called stupidity. We're going by stupidity. But sometimes amazing things happen when you're just stupid even. So we're going, and hopefully we'll meet with this world-famous scientist and present a challenge to him. But regardless of all that, don't let your theology and your Christian life be based on superstition. And if you have a hard time interpreting Bible verses, please don't try to interpret the weather. Please, if there's a storm, if it's cold and windy, don't think, okay, this is what God is telling me based on the storm. Don't think that, because you're going to be wrong. Get a deeper Christian walk with the Lord, not the kind of superstition that every pagan in the world has. Okay. Now, we have some audio clips of Dr. Ben Carson we want to get to in just a moment, because he's all the rage this week because of the comments he made in front of Barack Obama. And here on Bob and Yurt Live on our Friday Real Science radio shows, over the years, we've mentioned Dr. Ben Carson, world famous brain surgeon, neurologist, because he rejects Darwinism. He rejects it. He said, it's not true. It's false. And so we have a special interest in Ben Carson. But before we get to that, the spokesman for the Heart Attack Grill has died of a heart attack. This is not good news for this poor guy, John Alleman. And there's a restaurant called Fatso. It's like, it's funny, you know, it's a funny thing. But just because it's funny doesn't mean you open a business and you stake your financial success on Fatso. It just doesn't seem like a great marketing idea. And the Heart Attack Grill, I don't know. It doesn't say whether the guy died in Vegas or outside of Vegas, because, you know, they say whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And that's not true. Remember the wife who sued the mayor of Vegas because her husband gave her an STD? So what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. In fact, a lot of it ends up at the judgment seat of Christ. And a lot of it ends up at the great white throne judgment. So what happens in Vegas ends up going everywhere. So what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is not only a lie, but it's the kind of lie responsible for a lot of ruined marriages. Okay. The governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper, we now understand a little bit better about his mental health. Turns out that a fluid that geologists use, he drank some of the fluid. And so anyway, we understand our governor a little bit better now. That's in the news, in case you missed it. Okay, so we want to listen to a few of the clips of Ben Carson. And it turns out that Cal Thomas, who is a depressing kind of conservative, Cal Thomas, when the Republicans lose an election, he just laments publicly. He'll write a column saying, woe is me, all is lost, we might as well give up, forget the social issues, forget that it's just all bleak and it's all lost. And when the Germans had destroyed their own country, there were Christians fighting to save the innocent and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they didn't give up. Even if they were killed, they didn't give up, because in Christ we have the victory. Well, Cal Thomas, he said, Ben Carson had some guts. And Ben Carson says, and he is, he's talked about his brother, who's an aerospace engineer, and himself, he's a neurosurgeon. He says, well, basically, my brother is the rocket scientist, and I'm the brain surgeon. And it's true. These guys are brilliant. And Ben Carson, he's maybe one of the most famous brain surgeons in the world. If I recall, there were Siamese twins that were attached at the head. Most surgeons would not even attempt a surgery, and he not only attempted it, he succeeded and separated these two children. So praise God for Ben Carson. And with his brilliance and his understanding of science, he's given an assessment of Darwinism and said, look, it's just false. The laws of physics have never been demonstrated to produce information, and life is based on information. Billions of letters in the DNA alphabet to make a person, billions. And there are about 600,000 doctors, U.S. medical doctors, who believe that God had to be involved in the origin of human beings, either that God directed the process or that God created us as we are. 600,000 U.S. medical doctors. And I tell you what, a medical doctor, that's applied science. Darwinism is like storytelling. And Ben Carson understands that. So let's hear from him and take some clips, and we'll talk about some of the things Ben Carson said to Barack Obama at the National Prayer Breakfast just a few days ago. We'll do clips 1 through 5.
We don't want to go down the same pathway as many other pinnacle nations who have preceded us. I think particularly about ancient Rome. Very powerful. Nobody could even challenge them militarily. But what happened to them? They destroyed themselves from within. Moral decay. Fiscal irresponsibility. They destroyed themselves. And if you don't think that can happen to America, you get out your books and you start reading. I think about these problems all the time. And, you know, my role model was Jesus. And he used parables to help people understand things. And one of our big problems right now, and like I said, I'm not politically correct, so I'm sorry, but our deficit is a big problem. Think about it. And our national debt, $16.5 trillion.
Okay, now that's the first of 5 excerpts that we'll listen to. And of course, I loved it that he said, my role model is Jesus Christ. And what should be, when Cal Thomas said that Ben Carson should apologize for being critical of, you know, socialism and all in front of the president, what should happen is the organizers of the National Prayer Breakfast should apologize to God for allowing a child killer like Barack Obama into the event. That's where the apology should be made. Apologizing to God for mocking him by allowing Barack Obama, child killer, someone who hates God, is in rebellion against God, to be at this event, which then is a mockery. It's a mockery. So I love that he said Jesus, of course I would love that he said Jesus is my role model. And also when he said, if you don't think that America could be destroyed, well, get some books and start reading. Notice he didn't even have to say what books. Just learn, educate yourself, and you'll find out that America is also vulnerable to the same destruction that comes to nations that are morally and fiscally irresponsible. So let's hear the next clip.
What about our taxation system? So complex. There is no one who can possibly comply with every jot and tittle of our tax. If I wanted to get you, I could get you on a tax issue. That doesn't make any sense. What we need to do is come up with something that's simple. And when I pick up my Bible, you know what I see? I see the fairest individual in the universe, God, and he's given us a system. It's called tithe. Now, we don't necessarily have to do it 10%, but it's principle. He didn't say, if your crops fail, don't give me any tithes. He didn't say, if you have a bumper crop, give me triple tithes. So there must be something inherently fair about proportionality. You make $10 billion, you put in $1 billion. You make $10, you put in $1. Of course, you got to get rid of the loopholes. But now some people say, they say, well, that's not fair because it doesn't hurt the guy who made $10 billion as much as the guy who made $10. Where does it say you have to hurt the guy? He just put $1 billion in the pot. You know, we don't need to hurt him. You know, it's that kind of thinking. It's that kind of thinking that has resulted in 602 banks in the Cayman Islands. That money needs to be back here, building our infrastructure and creating jobs. And we're smart enough to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, so progressive tax, where the wealthy pay a higher percentage, that's based on envy, class envy. Envy is a sin. It's covetousness. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Do not covet your neighbor's goods. And that's what socialism is based on, a violation of thou shalt not steal and a violation of thou shalt not covet. And so Ben Carson was gutsy to say, hey, the most fair person is God. God has already thought this through. How do you collect money from the general public to fund a central operation? And God could have said, use a national sales tax. He could have said, use a real estate tax. He could have said, use a VAT tax, value-added tax. He could have said all these things, a sin tax, right? Tax cigarettes and alcohol or whatever. But what God said was, use a percent of your income. And I have debated the nation's leaders, alleged conservatives, on the national sales tax. And I don't know how anyone could hear those debates, and we have them online at kgov.com, kgov.com/debates. Just click on economics. We have many of our debates are listed here, real easy to access. You click on economics, national sales tax, and I debated Neil Bortz, who's the national spokesman, and Ken Hoagland, who's the author. He wrote the book on the national sales tax, and we show how the national sales tax is immoral and why it's immoral. And it's certainly unbiblical, and the defense of the flat tax, a flat income tax. And by the way, we should go a little farther than Ben Carson was willing to go. In the Bible, God said if the government charges you 10%, that's tyranny. That's plunder. That's legal plunder. So 10% is what people would give to God. And by the way, that was willingly. The government taxing you, that's not willingly, because you'd be punished if you don't give it. And so it should be significantly less than 10%. All right, let's go to track number 3.
Now, it's not my intention to offend anyone. I have discovered, however, in recent years that it's very difficult to speak to a large group of people these days and not offend someone. I know people walk around with their feelings on their shoulders waiting for you to say something. Did you hear that? And they can't hear anything else you say. The PC police are out in force at all times. I remember once I was talking to a group about the difference between a human brain and a dog's brain. And a man got offended. He said, you can't talk about dogs like that. But, you know, people just focus in on that, completely miss the point of what you're saying. We've reached a point where people are afraid to actually talk about what they want to say because somebody might be offended. People are afraid to say Merry Christmas at Christmas time. It doesn't matter whether the person you're talking to is Jewish or whether they're any religion. That's a salutation, a greeting of goodwill. We've got to get over this sensitivity. You know, and it keeps people from saying what they really believe. You know, I'm reminded of a very successful young businessman. He loved to buy his mother these exotic gifts for Mother's Day. And he ran out of ideas. And then he ran across these birds. These birds were cool. You know, they cost $5,000 a piece. They could dance. They could sing. They could talk. He was so excited. He bought 2 of them. Sent them to his mother. Couldn't wait to call her up on Mother's Day. Mother, mother, what'd you think of those birds? And she said, they was good. He said, no, no, no. Mother, you didn't need those birds. Those birds cost $5,000 a piece. They could dance, they could sing, they should talk. And she said, well, they should have said something. And you know, that's where we end up too if we don't speak up for what we believe.
Yeah, and the truth is unavoidably offensive. Ben Carson is right. The truth is unavoidably offensive. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the truth. That's what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that is why he calls himself the rock of offense. The Bible says he is the rock of offense. Jesus would say something and everybody was offended. And you know what he would do then? He'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. You must have misunderstood me. No, he didn't do that. He'd say, you're offended at that? Well, there's a lot more coming. So brace yourself. And we have a seminar you could get called Nicer Than God. Nicer Than God is an absolutely stunning seminar. Now, if you can't afford that, it comes on a single CD or you could download it immediately. And if you can't afford it, we've always said for years, whatever you can afford, if you can't afford one of our resources and you'd like it, you think it'd be valuable to better understand God's word, how to live the Christian life, then we say whatever you can afford. And if you can't afford anything, then we have online Nicer Than God as an article. So you could just Google Nicer Than God. Just Google Nicer Than God. Anywhere in the world, and I don't know how, maybe I could find out before we end the show today. I don't know how high we would be on the Google rankings for Nicer Than God, but my guess is we'd be up there. Let's see, nicer, look, I'll do it right now. Nicer Than God. Private browsing. Out of 8 million websites that have those words, Nicer Than God, we're number one. So you'll find it, all right? Nicer Than God. And a number of other ministries have picked up on that term that we came up with 20 years ago and have been teaching and explaining that we're not supposed to be nicer than God and the truth is unavoidably offensive. So Ben Carson just mentioned offending somebody, saying the human brain is more sophisticated than a dog's brain. People get offended. At Obama's first debate against Romney in Denver, this election season, back in November, it was late October. I was at south of Denver, the University of Denver, where their number one course is remedial English. I was at and that was the day of the debate, and I was there for the debate in the debate hall where we were debating issues and we were debating personhood. And there was a guy and a couple gals, college students, and they came up to talk, and I said to him, well, You're a guy, right? These gals, and you're a guy. Do you know he got extremely offended that I said you're a guy? And he's not even a homo. He's a guy. But he was offended, and then they joined in this feigned offense that how dare I say he's a guy? How judgmental of me to say he's a guy? I said, well, you do have a Y chromosome, don't you? I mean, and please don't. We all know you're a, how dare you judge me and say I'm a guy? So I say, you know what? I'm sorry. I should have said you're an idiot. So I apologize to all guys everywhere. So it's unavoidably offensive. When there are no standards from God, then the standards are inane. They're inane, and you can't follow them. You're going to violate them. Ben Carson said with the tax system, you're going to violate it. Just, you know, where? There are too many laws. Who could keep up? You need 37 lawyers to go with you everywhere you go to make sure you don't break a law. Because you look in the phone book and there's 37 different categories of lawyers. So, and as you drive down the street, the law changes. That's how, what a bizarre world we live in. Okay, let's go. What are we up to? The fourth clip about lawyers.
We need doctors and we need scientists, engineers. We need all of those people involved in government. Not just lawyers. I don't have anything against lawyers, but, you know.
Not true.
Here's the thing about lawyers. And I'm sorry, but I gotta be truthful.
I knew it.
Gotta be truthful. What do lawyers learn in law school? To win. By hook or by crook, you gotta win. So you got all these Democrat lawyers and you got all these Republican lawyers, and all their side wants to win. We need to get rid of that.
All right, and lawyers are skilled at using the law as a weapon against the innocent. And we have a DVD called The Trouble with Lawyers, where I'm debating a law student. And if you are interested in how the criminal justice system should work, don't go to law school, don't talk to a lawyer, because they're broken. They don't know how it should work. We have a DVD called God and the Death Penalty, and we have a series, God's Criminal Justice System. And we also have some of that online in articles. Just Google God and the Death Penalty. God and the Death Penalty. Millions of possible web pages. And I think you'll find out that our article is number one at kgov.com with the DVD and at Theology online.com, a ministry of Denver Bible Church. All right, let's go to the last clip.
Another parable. Sea captain. They look ahead and there's a bright light. Another ship, he figures. And he tells his signaler, signal that ship. Deviate 10 degrees to the south. Back comes the message. No, you deviate 10 degrees to the north. Well, he's a little bit incensed, you know. He says, send a message. This is Captain Johnson. Deviate 10 degrees. Back comes the message. This is Ensign Riley. Deviate 10 degrees to the south. Now he's really upset. He says, send him a message. This is a naval destroyer. Back comes the message. This is a lighthouse.
And what's great about that point, and that was near the end. And by the way, remember, Cal Thomas, who's supposed to be a conservative leader, a pro-lifer, an unashamed Christian, and he says that Ben Carson should publicly apologize. Why? Because he disagrees with our convoluted tax system, because he disagrees with Obamacare, because he has the courage to say that we're doing things wrong in a country that is morally and fiscally depraved, will eventually destroy itself. And at a prayer breakfast, he can't say that. And Cal Thomas says, at a prayer breakfast, it is especially inappropriate to say these things. I mean, Ben Carson is practically quoting the Bible with these things. And what I love about his close with the lighthouse is that it doesn't matter who you think you are or what kind of authority you think you have, when you are running into an immovable object, and that immovable object is God, when you are running into him and you're saying, you better move because I'm the one who's in charge here, like I did it my way, and God says, no, you got to move. You got to move. You're headed to destruction. You need to move. Your heart, you need to humble yourself, lower yourself, and humble yourself and apologize for the sin in your life and that you have hurt others and you've hurt me, God, and you've hurt yourself. And you need to apologize and ask me to forgive you. And through my son's death on the cross, I can forgive you. And through his resurrection, I could give you eternal life. And so God is the immovable object in this parable, as Ben Carson said, another parable. And the lighthouse, and that's been around for a long, long time. But what a perfect application of it. Our country, our leaders, our families are headed for a collision with reality. And unless they repent and turn toward Jesus Christ, it's going to be very, very tragic when it all comes down. It's going to be tragic. Hey, our website is kgov.com. Our phone number, 800-8-NYARD. May God bless you.